Welcome to Church Online. It's great to have you with us, and special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn and I'm the minister at Adelaide West. Craig Schultz-Flaholius, the associate pastor here, will be sharing the message today, and various people from Adelaide West will be leading us in worship as we gather together in this way. Next week, we're taking part in the National Church Life Survey. It's an important opportunity to listen to the views of all who attend services, both online and in person, to provide a picture of our church's health and vitality. And every church in Australia is invited to participate, providing us with a picture of the church across Australia, data for research. We'd love to hear your views and for you to be a part of this National Church Life Survey. So next week, we will provide a code for you to complete the survey online. And if you would like more information, Google NCLS in Australia. Also next Sunday, we have a variety concert at Adelaide West with proceeds supporting the resettlement of Afghan women and children in South Australia. It has a variety of performances: quartets, quintets, barbershop, contemporary, instrumentals. 27th of February at 2 p.m. here at Adelaide West, and tickets are at the door. In March, we have a series coming up, Beyond Our Walls, stepping beyond our walls to be God's love in our everyday lives. It includes studies for Connect groups, which are available now on Facebook or can be emailed to you. If you're not part of a Connect or small group, there's an opportunity to join a three-week group study in person or online by Zoom. So please email me if you'd like to join. We light a candle as a visible reminder of Christ's presence with us as we meet. And a symbol of us gathering together. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. We worship together.
Oh,
The reading today is from Luke chapter 6 verses 27 to 36. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Enemy occupation. It is the presence of a foreign military force within a sovereign territory that is not their own. Think, for example, of the West Bank or Crimea in the Ukraine in our own time, or even Tibet. An unwanted group of armed people have come into a country by force and subjected its people to their will. It is impossible not to notice because suddenly these foreigners are everywhere. In many cases, they speak a different language, belong to a different culture. They do things differently, and they can pretty much do whatever they like, and there is no way to stop them. Enemy occupation is a huge injustice. And this is how those who are occupied experience it, with all the emotions that come from having to endure injustice with little recourse to help. This is what the people of Israel are enduring in Jesus' time. If you think about what it might mean for the people of the Ukraine to have to endure occupation, then you get a sense for how the people everywhere that Jesus went were feeling about the Romans. Around 60 years before Jesus' birth, the Romans had conquered Jerusalem after being asked to intervene in a conflict over the succession of the Israeli throne. Although Israel still had a king, they were in essence a puppet of Rome. Roman soldiers walked the streets of Israel. Roman temples and idols were present in major towns. But the worst part of being a Roman client, a polite way of saying occupied, was the taxation. When you hear tax in the New Testament, particularly that paid to Caesar, don't imagine the ATO, imagine the Godfather. It was a large-scale mafia-style protection racket backed up by Roman centurions. If you could not pay your tax, you could be loaned the money to pay the tax by another Roman, who would then impose crippling interest on the loan. And of course, the courts are Roman, imposing Roman law, so good luck getting justice that way. So when Jesus says to his audience, love your enemies, he is not talking about the kind of annoyance that we have towards someone when we get cut off in traffic. He is compelling his audience to love the people who have robbed them, occupied them, extorted them, and lorded it over them at the point of a spear, or more recently, a gun. There was nothing hypothetical about losing your shirt or being struck on the face or having their goods taken away. These are real, nasty enemies, and Jesus teaches his followers to love them. There is an injustice here, and I hope you sense how offensive that truly is, that Jesus is not only asking people to give up on revenge, not only asking them to give up on proportional justice of the kind we find in the Old Testament line, an eye for an eye. Jesus is asking that they treat their enemies like family. Imagine for a moment that we ask the people of the Ukraine to embrace Russian troops and invite them into their homes for dinner after they have bombed their schools and hospitals. What Jesus is asking for here is by all human definitions an injustice. Revenge comes naturally to us. Retribution, we understand. Even proportional justice is more appetizing to us because it is at least balanced. But to give up our sense of justice by not only letting these things go, but also showing loving care and compassion towards the perpetrators of such violence is kind of offensive. But this is the surprising thing about the kingdom of God. This is precisely the justice that God offers. The kingdom of God comes with a kind of justice that we do not understand. But God, as we remember, is not like us. Despite what the opponents of religion say about God, God is not just a projection of our own personalities into the sky. Because if God were just a bigger version of our fathers, or some kind of imaginary wish fulfillment, God would be vengeful like us. If we were to believe our Western materialistic culture and God only exists in our minds, God could only be a larger version of our kind of justice. But we know that God is holy, magnificent, and entirely other, making that otherness known to us in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And the God that Jesus makes known to us in this passage exhibits an entirely different kind of justice to anything we could ever have dreamt up on our own. Instead of the kind of proportional justice we desire, that is, at its best, an attempt to rehabilitate, and its worst, pure retribution, Paul tells us in Romans 5, God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For it is while we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. God loves us so much that even while we were his enemies, opposed to him in thought and action, and that is in harming one another and creation, putting sex, money, and power before him, God did not even withhold the life of Jesus, his beloved Son. That means that God loves us at least as much as God loves Jesus. God loves you at least as much as he loves Jesus and cannot bear to be apart from you. And we see this time and time again in the language of adoption and family that we find throughout the New Testament. The most important relationship you have is God's relationship with Jesus, because that is the relationship God has with you in Jesus. It is the very essence and nature of God's personality to love you with all of God's heart, Father, Spirit, and Son, loving you together in perfect harmony. It is what you were created for, and the right and proper order to creation is you in harmonious relationship with God and with other people. And this is the justice that is so foreign to us. True justice is the restoration of things to how they should have always been. And if we could, that is what we would enact in our own justice, restore victims' dignity and position, the way things have always meant to be. The intention of God, we see in the Garden of Eden, is for God and humanity to live in loving harmony, enjoying one another forever. God's love for his enemies restores that purpose, redeems creation, puts things back to how they always should have been. True justice is not revenge, which cannot put things right, but only breaks more people along the way. True justice is not proportional, an eye for an eye, because that cannot undo the wrong. True justice is that in God's love for the world and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, not only are we restored to our true purpose of loving and being loved by God, the miracle of God's justice is that it's even better than before. Like the Japanese practice of inagi, where a broken pot is put back together with gold, so that the broken pot has become more beautiful than before. And this is why, even though it seems to us to be an injustice, Jesus teaches us to love our enemies, because it is actually a true to how things were always meant to be, that we were meant to live basking in God's love. The teaching of Jesus that we love our enemies at the beginning of the Sermon on the Plain, a collection of Jesus' teachings about how to live in the kingdom of God. How we handle the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Plain, or for that matter, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew says a lot about how we view our relationship with God. There are two ways that we can approach any teaching or command from Jesus. Firstly, we can perform the action, in this case loving enemies, because we believe that we will please God and put us in good standing with God. The second way we can handle it is to recognize that God is already pleased with us and loves us, and that when we love our enemies, it is the appropriate expression of joy that God has put into our hearts by loving us first. The first way I like to describe as being driven. It is about fairness. We work our butts off to please God. But like the eldest son in the parable of the prodigal son, or like the famous story of Mary and Martha, we become bitter, tired, and resentful when we encounter this kind of justice from God. It is not fair. I work so hard. How come they get the same love from God as me? It is a spirituality of overworked, burnt out, tiredness, and resentment. The second way I like to describe as being drawn, led like the sheep in Psalm 23 beside the cool waters of God's love for us, not earned, bartered for, or cajoled from God by our service. In this spirituality, our love for our enemies bubbles up in and out of us in a surprising abundance because we are sharing the love we have received. In this way, we love our enemies or follow any teaching of Jesus for that matter by sharing in the love of God and knowing we are totally secure in the loving acceptance of God, and we find the wealth of love we need to be able to love our enemies. Jesus asks his disciples to love their enemies, real, dangerous, visceral enemies, not because it is fair or even because by human standards it is somehow just. Jesus asks his disciples to love their enemies as an act of proper worship and thankfulness to the God who has restored their broken relationship with him, as one who seeks to restore creation to its proper order. A world where there is no need for enemies because we live in harmony with God and each other as we were created to. Let me leave you with this question. Does your spirituality reflect a desire for fairness, working for approval from God? Or is your spirituality one of God's true justice, where our work comes out of gratitude as an act of worship to the God who loved us while we were still enemies?
Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. And its glory shall know no bounds. righteousness revealed.
Today is World Social Justice Day, and this year's theme is equality through formal employment. 60% of the world's workforce is employed informally, which means they do not enjoy the protections of workplace regulations and benefits that they might if they were living somewhere like Australia. This morning, as well as praying for the proper recognition of their work, we will also be praying for workers around the world as they seek to provide for their families and keep our economy moving. Let us pray. Holy Creator, you made us all in your glorious image. In your precious likeness you created us, and you lovingly placed us upon this earth to be in loving relationship with you and one another. As bearers of your own likeness, you made us stewards over the whole earth to work in tending it, to tend that which you made by the work of your word. And when Adam fell from the perfection of the garden, pridefully seeking to be like the God in whose image he was already made, the consequence was that humanity would eat by the sweat of the brow. It has been the experience of humanity that we must indeed work, if we are to eat, to have shelter, and to provide for family. But work also gives us dignity, a sense of place and identity. Whether that be through paid employment or otherwise, we all work in this world with hope that our labours will not return empty. For you said, a worker is worthy of their wage. And so we pray today that you would bring justice to those who work around the world without fair pay, protections, and safe conditions. Holy God, come to the rescue of the poor and enslaved around the world and ensure that their work is valued and honoured justly. Make a way for all who toil to be paid fairly. Lord, we also pray for those who are looking for work. We know that it is a very trying time when searching for a job. Be with those who search and preserve their dignity and sense of worth. We also bring before you those who have retired from work and acknowledge before you that no one truly ever retires. They only change where they put their efforts in. May those efforts be fruitful and bear witness to your love and grace. We pray for those who cannot work for whatever reason, that you would give them dignity and teach us to value them just as you value them. You provide for us and sustain us all. You make your rain fall on everyone. We ask that you would continue to provide for us all that we need, and that we would respond with gratitude to all that you have done for us. We bring our gifts and offerings of time, money, abilities, and food for the share table. Take them and use them to further your kingdom. We bring these prayers to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose work, life, death, and resurrection bring us here before you today. Amen.
My Lord, what love is this that pays so dearly, so that I, the guilty one, may go given for me. My debt he pays, and my death he dies, that I might live, that I might live. And so watched him die, despised, rejected. but oh, the blood he shed flowed for me. Amazing love, oh, what sacrifice the Son of God given for me. Christ shall flow like rivers. Come wash your guilt away. Live again. Amazing love, oh what sacrifice Son of God given for me. My death he pays, and my death he dies, that I might live. Amazing love, oh what sacrifice the Son of God given for me. My death he pays, and my death he dies, that I might live, that I might live.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you have been encouraged through this service. If you would like prayer, press the prayer button if you're watching live, or send us an email. We would love to pray with you and for you. This week, as you head out, may you know the presence of the God who loved you first, the God whose justice is in the redemption and restoration of loving relationship with God and each other. And may that love draw you even closer to the source of all love, love that overflows into every corner of your life. And may the grace and kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you always. Amen. Blessings on your week.